Blog Talk Radio.
I'm Cindy Sansom-Brapp, author of Grant Me a Higher Love and Why Good People Can't Leave Bad Relationships. I'm a woman on a mission, and that mission is to have you and everyone else have the best love life possible in this new millennium. But before this can happen, you're going to have to learn a few new tricks. Joining me tonight, as always, is my co-host and producer, Nicole. Nicole's a beautiful young woman, a writer, an entrepreneur, and a lesbian, not necessarily in that order, and she's here to share her love stories and her war stories with us. She's a voice that will make all of us women stop blaming everything on the opposite sex, since Nicole knows women are making some of the same kinds of mistakes in their relationships with each other. Well, hello, Nicole. How has the week been for you?
Oh, the usual, Cindy.
The usual. I'm still getting saved by the bell. Someone was supposed to come today at 12:30, and you know, called in the morning that you know her daughter had just tested positive for COVID. So, getting saved by the bell all day long. Who's going to be coming and who's not going to be coming? We're going to stress to people. I know people are getting annoyed with this. Are you seeing that too? That people have had enough of it?
Oh, yeah.
But, it is what it is. And, you know, what's been hard for me the last 2 weeks is my clients are really having a hard time with it, feeling locked up, caged down. This second round seems to be really getting to them. But, you know, we have to find a way to still live within the context of it.
I think that what wound up happening was that, you know, when things started – you know, to open back up and everything else, you know, people have got a very, very false preconceived notion that things are going to go back to the way that they were pre-COVID. COVID has changed everything, you know. So, you know, if you are somebody who is out there who just doesn't believe in COVID and is subscribing to like conspiracy, that's okay. You know, just still be aware that other people don't subscribe to that belief and, you know, do the best that you can to just be respectful of other people. You know, and if you're, you know, part of the people that, you know, are just completely fearful of it, you're going to have to kind of push through and realize that this is our new reality and we need to find a way forward and we need to protect ourselves and we, again, need to be respectful of everybody around us. You know, so whether you think it's the worst thing in the world or whether you think it's made up, just be respectful and find a way forward because, unfortunately, this is our new reality. It's not going to go back to what it was pre-COVID.
Exactly. And, you know, it is sad, but, you know, we can find ways to do things. But what I'm finding with my clients, they're getting in such a slump that they don't even want to go outside. I mean, you have to go for a walk. You have to do things. You have to get
out. Outside is the best place for you to be.
Yeah, get outside. I mean, yeah, you're getting sick of looking at the four walls and feeling, you know, caged in and all of that, but, you know, it's finding ways that you can still feel free and do things, and, you know, they're falling into some depression is what I'm seeing, and
Yep. Since
we get depressed, we don't even want to get out of bed, let alone, you know, tackle a project, start something new, do something, but the best thing is to put one foot in the front of the other and, you know, do something that you like to do that doesn't mean getting with other people or find a new hobby or learn something new because
we're not
ending anytime soon. I don't think getting dark so early helps.
No,
by any
means. Not. Well, I mean, listen, I mean, like, you know what? You can do things as long as you are careful about them. Like, you know what? Lisa and I have like a little gathering for Christmas every single year. What? I had my gathering. I cut it down. And I invited people who all within the previous 7 days had been tested and tested negative for COVID. And I cut my list down by a little bit more than half. So where normally I have 20 people in my house, I had 6. And you know what? It was fine. We social distanced. I made sure that that there was nothing where anybody could share anything. We had names on everybody's cups. You know, I mean, and that's what we did. And these are people that have stayed true and they've quarantined and they're not putting themselves at risk. They're not engaging in you know, reckless behavior. And everybody had been tested at least once in the previous week, and everybody came back negative. So guess what? I had 6 people instead of 20. But you know what? You make it work. You know, if you're lonely and you know that somebody is literally quarantined, cut off by themselves, you know what? And you want to have a coffee and sit 6 feet away from that person, go out for frigging coffee and have a conversation. You know, sit outside. I mean, I know that it's been a little bit colder, but the sun is shining still. Do you know what? That's
right, exactly.
So bad in there. And you know what? One thing that's been helping my wife a lot is because, you know, she gets tested once a week for COVID, sometimes more, depending on what the work schedule is. And you know what? It's very, very tough to alienate yourself in her line of work because everything used to be like a team-based activity, and now even the teams are cut off. And, you know, they're separate. There's less people, you know, and sometimes when it's either really, really busy or really, really slow, it's hard. So I invested in a whole bunch of heated apparel for my wife. So now, clunky outside, you know, she can't be outside and talk to people and, you know, engage with her friends and maintain a reasonable distance. You know, she's got a heated vest. You know, she's got heated gloves. You know, I make her wear snowboarding socks when she leaves, and she even has a heated electric blanket for the car so that they can park next to one another and open the windows and still have conversation. You know, so there's things that you can do to circumvent some of this stuff. You know, to circumvent that loneliness and that isolation. Yeah, we got to quarantine. Nobody says we've got to stop living.
Exactly. And it's being a little creative, like what you just said. You know, I always think there's no bad weather. It's just bad clothes. You know,
exactly.
Right for the weather. And, you know, even in my reading room, there's, you know, more than 6 feet away from me, but I have an air filter, but I have the windows open, and it's cold. So, you know, I have a little heater next to us to keep us warm.
Yep.
And I'm dressed warm, but, you know, it's we have to make compromises. We have to figure a way. But please, please don't give into the depression. Don't give into, like, you know, you're just not going to do anything because, you know, there's nothing to do, because that's, you know, not true. And keep going on with your life, because if you give into the corona blues, it's going to become clinical depression.
Yes.
If you really give into it.
And we all really need to concentrate on again, forward and working this out and moving forward and learning to live with this. Because, you know what, I was talking to my sister the other day, and, you know, my nephew is small. You know, he's only about, I think that he just turned 9, okay? But this kid is a very, very old soul. And, you know, the school district, because they're going from, do we open, do we close, do we open, do we close? They've remained closed. She's out in Brooklyn, and they've remained closed. And because they keep trying and failing to open, the curriculum is getting screwed up out there. So this is a kid that thrives on structure. You know, I mean, he's probably borderline on the spectrum, and he needs structure. And my sister found him the other day in his room. He locked himself in his room, and my sister went in there to go and see what was going on with him. And he was crying by himself in his room. And my sister's like, well, what's the matter? And he said, Mom, I am so stressed out. A 9-year-old boy should not have to be stressed out in tears in his room. And all this kid wants to do is see his friends. He wants to have lunch with his friends. He wants to play. He wants to go to the movies. Like, this is, I mean, and I get that the adults are afraid, but what this is doing to children is damaging them. Damaging them. I took my 2-year-old nephew just out and about, and, you know, we were at, this was a few weeks ago, in a crowded place. You know, this was, you know, that we were monitoring, doing the pumpkin picking. This was back in October. And, you know, they were monitoring how many people go in, and they were monitoring all the lines. But there was obviously more than just, you know, immediate family around him. And this kid burst out into tears because he didn't know what it was like to be in public at 2 years old. He was just completely overwhelmed. You know, this is what's happening to these children. These children that are growing up in isolation, when the world is open, are not going to know how to cope. you know, because we're not teaching them now, you know? I mean, so we really just need to be respectful of one another's beliefs, be careful, you know, and move forward, guys. You know, don't stop living.
And don't give into it. I mean, you know, even if you're reading a little more, stay away from too much television, unless it's like more like life confirming and positive, but even too much television, you know, it's not good just sitting there. But, you know, be careful.
Don't watch the news 24/7.
Yeah, no, don't.
Oh, and God.
So don't watch that. And, you know, try to, you know, put one foot in front of the other, because I just said in the last few weeks, I've heard a lot of this from a lot of people that they are just like feeling hopeless. And there's nothing hopeless here. It's not going to last forever. Okay. It may feel like it is, but it's not hopeless. There's a light at the end of the tunnel and, you know, we'll get there. But, you know, please, 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 because these kind of feelings are very contagious. And as one person gets it, it starts spreading to everyone, and that's going to be a problem. So, you know, let's try to keep our spirits up as much as we can, be there for people, and, you know, do your socially distanced things, and, you know, we'll get through all of this.
Yep.
And now that we did our little COVID, because, you know, with the numbers up, I thought we had to address this issue. We can't pretend it's not out there. But we do have a lot of listeners who would like to talk to us, and we haven't screened any of them. If you want to talk to us, you do have to press 1.
Please.
And, you know, why don't you just dig in with the first person who has been waiting the longest, which is number 757.
You got it. And then I will jump into the chat room and screen some peeps. So
terrific. And thank you for your input on that, Nicole, because I was really hoping for your a little bit of your wisdom tonight, because, you know, I'm running out of wisdom here, you know. I get it.
You know, and like I said, Cindy, the whole thing here is, and you know what, other people really need to speak up as well, you know, like people that are, you know, that may know somebody that might be letting this, COVID get them down. We need to find a way to live with it, just like we found a way to live with the flu when the flu was killing everybody, just like we found a way to live through swine flu when that was a thing, you know, 10, 15 years ago. You know, there's always been something that we have learned to live through. We just have to learn to live through this, and we will, and we'll persevere, but we got to do it together. And closing ourselves off from the rest of humanity is just not the answer. We've got to be creative, and we've got to find ways to connect in a world that doesn't want us to connect, you know, and that's the main thing. We have to find that connection, and we got to make it work, you know, and hopefully we'll have to try less hard as this goes on.
That's what I'm hoping and praying for too.
Yep.
So we're going to
go 4757. As usual, guys, I never screen the first caller, so hopefully this person is not nuts. And then I'm going to jump into the chat room. And
you could be a little nuts, but not bad nuts, okay? You could be good nuts. You just don't want to be bad nuts.
You know, like with some, you know, I've got like a peanut allergy. So like if you're a cashew or an almond, that's totally cool. Don't be a peanut. We're good. All right. 4757. Hello, you are on the air.
Hi, this is Christiana.
Hi, Christiana. How are you doing today?
Hi, I'm doing good. How are you?
Good. I love hearing your sweet voice. So I know you had a lot of changes or trying for changes. Have any of them manifested for you?
Not quite like I had hoped.
Okay. Now, you were trying to be getting more into being a psychic and all that. How's that worked out?
I'm not getting that many callers.
Okay. It'll pick off. You know, are you only doing it a certain amount of time a day? Is that what you're doing?
Yeah. Like 4 to 6 hours maybe.
Okay. Give it a little time to see how it happens. Are you liking when you're doing it?
I feel like I'm kind of out of balance. Like I feel like I'm not as connecting to clients as well as I could.
Okay, it takes practice. It takes time. You know, like anything else, it takes practice. And, you know, you're a very good psychic and you're very intuitive. But it's a little hard, you know, in the beginning. It's not easy. Don't give up on it, though, because it looks like if you stick with it, you'll be able to, you know, do well, make a living, and help people at the same time, which I know is what you really want to be doing. That's your goal. Are you still in school as well?
Yeah, I finish pretty soon here on the 13th.
Oh, that's exciting. Very exciting. And then are you going to try to look for a full-time job in your field?
You know, I started looking recently, and a lot of the jobs have require like a degree and certain qualifications that I don't meet. So I'm having trouble finding one that's the right fit, but maybe eventually I will.
Yeah, I see it very positive for your career here. So, like, keep looking. Now, I'm not sure if that's what you called about or did you have something else on your mind, because I just wanted to ask you, because you do call in regularly, so I know who you are, and I, you know, just wanted to hear that. But if you have a question that you specifically wanted to call in about, you can ask as well.
Yeah, I was just wondering if there's any spirits or the departed, that somebody that has a message for me. I know that's not very specific.
No, that's too specific. First of all, your son on the other side is telling you, Mom, have courage, okay? You need a little bit of courage right now. He seemed to be a fighter, your son. Do you remember that about him?
Yes.
And he's telling you,
Mom,
he's telling you, don't get discouraged, and that you were a very, very good mother. This time of year might be hard for you as a mother, because do you think about him a little more during all of this?
Yes.
Because, you know, you would think about how old he might be now and what he might want for Christmas, and he hears your thoughts. He's very peaceful. He's also making my iPad just go crazy, by the way. All of a sudden, Siri wants to talk. What I'm saying is being recorded on Siri. It's really crazy. He's a pretty powerful energy. Do you ever feel him around you?
I think I feel him touching like my back or like the back of my neck.
Oh yeah, he's always trying to pat you on the back or stroke you to let you know he's around and that he's never deserted you. He's also clapping his hands. He's very proud of you that you're finishing school. Like that's quite an accomplishment. If you need him, just talk to him. And, you know, I know you pray for him, and you do pray for him because he hears it. But he's saying he's trying to help you in every way. Ask him to help you even get your new job, because it looks really promising here. You to get a very good job, and you've worked so hard at it. You know, there's actually nothing bad in your card. There's the justice card. You've earned the right to move forward with your life and have everything that you want. There's a tad bit of depression showing up in your cards. Is that from Corona or just from so much change that's going to happen now?
I think part of it's from isolation. Yeah.
Yep.
And that's a part of it. Too, I deal with, you know, I do struggle a little bit more with depression and anxiety around this time of year, around the holidays.
Okay, and
just
that's
because,
what I'm
you know, I lost contact with most of my family, so it's
yeah,
really
that
hard
gets a little bit
sometimes.
Sad for people. And you know, that's why it's like moving forward in your life and meeting new friends and making new people that will fill your life a little bit. Try not to give in to the blues, because, you know, you have to start job hunting, you know, so keep your spirits up. And I think a lot of people are feeling more isolated and more of that seasonal blues than they would have felt before. Because even people with Christmas, it's going to be one or two people or a small handful of people gathering. It's not, you know, there's no big Christmas parties or fun things that people normally do. But, you know, there's no reason for any depression in your cards, because you're actually opening up with January 1st, the world card, which is a 5-year period in which anything you want is yours. So there's nothing bad in your cards. Everything actually looks very good. And, you know.
Awesome.
You know, keep calling in and let us know how you're doing. And don't get so discouraged. I mean, it's a little bit harder because you're doing the readings that are like 10 or 15-minute ones mostly. Is that what they are, short readings?
Sometimes even shorter on the site
I
work for.
Yeah, those are, like, really hard to do, okay? Like, I stopped doing events where, you know, sometimes, you know, you go and you read, like, 40 people, do 10, 15-minute readings. They're really draining. They're really hard, you know? That's like, I almost felt like I was working in a factory at that point. It didn't really feel, like, psychic. It felt like, oh, my God, I have to keep zooming in on this, zooming in on that, zooming in on this. So it's part of the fact that there's such short readings that make it more difficult in every way. So, you know, just give it your all. Don't get discouraged. And call in again in the near future and let us know how you're doing with it. And,
okay.
You know, keep us posted. And have a very, very Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.
Okay, you too. Thanks.
Bye. Bye.
Bye.
Okay, now I could see that Nicole has screened 2 people.
Yes, I have.
Okay. And, you know, who, okay, who, do you want
to? First, we're going to go out to Meryl.
Okay.
And Meryl is from New York. And she called in about a couple years ago, maybe about a year and a half ago. And unfortunately, Meryl's mom passed away last week. And it was not unexpected. But she just kind of wants to know, even though it's kind of new, are you picking up anything? You know, there are some issues with her siblings. She'd like a little bit to, you know, she'd like a little bit of advice on that. But overall, she just really wants to know, you know, about her mom and, you know, and what you're seeing. So here we go out to Meryl in New York. Hello, Meryl. You're on the air.
Hi, Cindy.
Hi, Meryl. I'm so sorry for your loss. And your
you.
Mom is a very considerate person to die a few weeks before Christmas and not right before. You know that.
Yes.
You know she didn't want her. She's very funny by this. She's smoothly transitioned,
yes.
I will tell you that. But she was no way in hell going to ruin the holidays, okay? Like,
wow.
For the rest of your life that she died on Christmas Eve or, you know, Christmas Day. What day did she actually die? What's the date of it?
The 1st.
December 1st?
Yes.
Okay, so notice she didn't die near Thanksgiving. She let you, you know, and she didn't die near Christmas. She kind of said, this is the best date. December 1st is a good date to die if you're going to die during the holidays. Or, you know, my dad was dying from Thanksgiving through, you know, he, like 2 days before Thanksgiving. But he didn't die until January 2nd, which I consider to be the deadest day of the year. Who does anything on January 2nd? Who cares?
Right.
Like, so your mom picked December 1st or January 2nd are those dead days. Like, if you're going to die, pick those days. Don't. And your mom was ready to go.
Yeah.
You know, she had been a tad bit afraid. I don't know if you know that at the end, but she made a very smooth transition. There was no, there was no, like, you know, she's actually a little bit on the funny side because, you know, I hear this every once in a while from people that, you know, that say, you know, who've been kind of sick for a while and waiting on this, that when they finally die, all of a sudden they're on the other side. And what she said was she saw her mom. Did you know her mom at all, your grandma?
Oh, yeah.
Because she saw her mom and her mom, you know, and she said to her mother, what are you doing here? And her mom laughed and said, no, the question is, what are you doing here? And then your mom realized she died, and she was like, that's it? Like, she just went from here to there, and like, whoa, that was easy. So, which she's
wow,
trying
that makes
to
sense. I think she died in her sleep, kind of. I mean, she had a heart event, but I think she was not, I think it happened in her sleep, kind of. So, she, yeah.
So, could you imagine if you've been waiting to die for a while, and now you're asleep, and the next thing you think, maybe you're dreaming? Like, that's what your mom thought.
Right.
Maybe I'm just dreaming. And she thought she was seeing her mom in her dreams, which she had seen frequently toward the end of her life. And then suddenly she's there. And she just said it was amazing.
Oh,
and
good.
No pain. no transition, no running around the earth. I don't know, I'm dead. She just was right there and very ready. And she doesn't want people to mourn for her. She said she's been dying for a while. You already, you know, you've been mourning for her for a while. But
exactly.
She wants, you know, a nice holiday. Of course, she said she's been listening to our show, so she heard the whole thing with COVID. Yes, now I'm going to, you know, so, you know, if we had a Hallmark movie, it would be the very COVID Christmas, you know. And it's not going to be what it normally would be. But she said she thinks this was a good year to die because maybe you would have wanted a little more low-key Christmas because your mom just passed. So it all kind of works in perfect timing. She's going to give very clear signs. She's actually an extremely good communicator for someone recently gone. Okay, she's very joyful and happy. She doesn't have her body. She doesn't have pain anymore. She didn't want to be a burden to everybody. And, you know, just if you would think of her with love, and have you seen any signs yourself yet?
Well, I don't know. I found a good home for her cat, and that's been on my mind, like really concerned about that. And I'm hoping it's what she agrees, that it's a good home, because he was a little tougher to find a home for. He's older and he has a thyroid condition with medicine, and it's hard to find an animal like that at home sometimes. And I think I found him a good home, and they had a very strong bond. So I just wanted to make sure she agrees that it's a good home, and I thought that was a sign, because the person's mother just died recently too, and I think that was a sign right there. I think that, and
of course it was, and
yeah,
your mom would not be this joyful and peaceful if the cat was not in a great place. Okay, so you did, and there's not too many cards with cats in it, but when I started to shuffle them on her feelings for this, the Queen of Wands card came up, and it has a cat in it. Like, so
oh
I had to
gosh,
laugh.
Oh, my gosh, that's amazing.
Because,
wow.
I said, well, are there any cards with cats in it? As much as I look at these cards, you think I would know? And I'm like, I said, if there's a card with a cat in it, which you think after 25 years of doing this, I should know if there's a card with a cat in it. But it was the Queen of Wands. And that's a woman who's very peaceful and very happy. So, yes, and the cat looks happy. In this card's also a picture of a sunflower. So a sunflower will in the future be one of the signs she's going to give you as well. So, you know, pay attention to somebody's got a sunflower tattoo, or, you know, you go somewhere and there's sunflowers. But she seems really, really happy. Like, and it wasn't a coincidence that you found that house. And yes, the two mothers seemed to, you know, the woman who took the cat and your mom seemed to have wanted this to happen, because the woman who took the cat, her mom is saying, you know, she wanted to give her daughter something to love. When somebody dies, you bring them something to love or someone to love. And that cat was brought, and it's really helped. And she's a very nurturing person, the woman you get the cat to. Like, she doesn't mind. You know, her mother said, my daughter is good to a fault, and she seemed to attract every stray cat in the world, you know, meaning people as well.
Yeah.
So she said, I'd rather have her take care of this cat than somebody else or something else. So she said, my daughter is the kind of nurturing person that she loves caring for it. And the cat's very happy too, your mother said. But funny enough, your mom's allowed down on Earth about 100 hours a month. Right now, she's spending most of her time with the cat.
Wow.
Just to help the cat adjust, because cats can see spirit. The cat can see her as clear as if your mom was still alive. It's one of the reasons why I'm not particularly thrilled when cats are in the room when I'm doing readings, because they can act very peculiar, because they see the spirit, and sometimes they go to scratch at the spirit, but they're scratching me. And, you know, your mom is very much saying, as soon as I see the cat's totally settled in, I'll come visit in your house.
Okay. Because I noticed the cat changed after she passed. He calmed down. He did. He seemed quiet, because he seemed like he was always asking for her, meowing at me and looking at me like, where is she and all that. And now once she passed, he really, his whole demeanor has changed and he got calmer and it's like he understands now. And yeah.
And because your mom's there petting him, being with him 24/7 right now. She's almost all of her time is spent with the cat when she's allowed here. So she's happy. The cat's happy. She wants you to be happy. Also, she said to tell you you were a very good daughter.
Oh, thanks.
You were a very good daughter. And, you know, your mom would have wanted one more Christmas if she could have been vital and not the way that she was. And, again, she might have been able to hang out for one more Christmas, but it wasn't sure that, you know, maybe she's going to die on Christmas. Like, it just had to be the way it went. Because otherwise she was getting nervous that, you know, she was going to end up ruining the holidays.
Right. Well,
she's
some
a
issues
pretty
with
considerate person.
She's a pretty considerate person. Siblings, and I'm a little nervous about the there's some issues there, and I'm just hoping everything's going to work out with that, with everything going forward here, you know.
Who's the executor of her will?
Well, it's the one, it's my older sister, the one I don't really, I try to, she's very drama, and I try to not get involved too much but with her, because it's really difficult, and
Well, your mom's, you know, going to try to help with that situation as well.
Okay.
Did you get a few of her things? Because your mom wants you to have certain things. I don't know if you know what she's talking about, but there's certain things she wants you to have specifically.
Okay.
So make sure you get a few of her things. She said it's going to be drama, okay, is what your mom said. You know, she said, so be prepared for that, but you don't have to rope yourself into the drama. Okay.
Right.
Because that's what your sister wants.
Exactly.
You know, and your mom just wants the will followed to the letter of the law. Is what she's concerned.
Okay, good.
Okay, like that. So if your sister doesn't do that, have you seen a copy of the will?
Not yet.
Okay, you have to ask your sister for a copy of the will. Now, you have a right to have a, you know, see the will and have a reading of the will.
Right.
Which your mother doesn't think your sister's going to do. And I wouldn't let that happen, because if you want your mom to rest in peace, And you're a nice person, and nice people, we don't like to rock the boat, and we also are peacemakers, and we don't really want to hear the screaming drama of people.
Right.
So we tend to just shut up and not do what's right. But it's one of the issues that most of us are back on earth because we've let siblings steal inheritances or we've not addressed this issue. So I wouldn't let it go without reading a will or seeing it. I mean, I was the executor of my parents' will, and everybody got to see it, read it, you know. Sometimes they forgot certain clauses in it that I had to remind them that were in there, like if anybody ditches, they get nothing. I had to certainly keep reminding people of that clause. But,
I'm sure.
Yeah,
I just want my fair share. I don't want anything
of
more.
Of course you do, and I will tell you this. People who don't fight for their fair share, what I have found is several things. The dead do not rest in peace if you don't get what's your rightful share. And you want your mom to rest in peace, correct?
Yes.
Okay, so, and two, you know, they observe everything. They don't miss anything, okay? They see this. And my clients who have told me it's okay that their siblings rip them off and they're not going to make a big deal. They blah, blah, blah. I go, yeah, well, you think you're okay about it and you're saying it's just money and you don't care, but all you do is work, because older souls, all they do is work. And if money doesn't matter, why do you work all the time? And two, when they walk away without, you know, fighting for what was theirs, they end up getting sick within 3 to 5 years, cancers, strokes. It's like, if you know, if you were happy about it, you wouldn't get cancer. Okay, so it's kind of like, just make sure you get what's yours. Deal with her with righteous anger, which means you don't start screaming at her. Don't just say, you know, look, legally, I'm allowed to see the will. I'd like to see a copy of the will. Just the facts. Just calmly.
Right.
Okay, she's going to stall on it for a long time, you know, stall, but just keep asking. And,
okay.
You know, and you don't particularly like her. And, you know, we always want people to like us. So you don't particularly like her anyway. And what your mom is saying is, you know, you're probably not going to talk to her that much once this is all settled. So why don't you just get what's rightfully yours and, you know, leave it at that.
Right.
So just expect she's not going to be easy, though.
Okay. I didn't think so. Okay.
I'm not sure why your mother left her as the executor of the will, by the way, because I think she's beginning to see it wasn't the smartest thing she ever did.
Yeah, because I have an older sister who's very fair, and that one took control just because she's a control freak. And, she should have had both of them kind of. Or my oldest sister who's very fair, but it didn't happen. Yeah.
All right. Well, sometimes the narcissists seem to win because people are afraid. Like maybe your mother was afraid because she's not answering. But I'm assuming she was afraid what that narcissistic sister might do if she didn't make her the executor.
Okay? Exactly.
So, and that's wrong because then you leave us to have to deal with these people. You know what I mean?
Right.
And, I think your mother's intention was she just wanted peace at the end of her life, whatever.
Right.
But remember, you know, to our listeners, it's your will, it's your stuff. Write the will any way you want to and appoint who you really want to. And don't even tell people. If you're afraid they're going to give you a hard time when you're alive and you don't want to hear it, nobody has to know about your will until you die. And at that point, then you've got what you wanted done and you'll rest in peace. So there are ways around this, but, you know, people
agreed.
But your mom is saying, please get what's yours. She's thanking you for everything you ever did for her. And, you know, she is crying a little bit because, you know, she misses you. And she's just grateful to be on the other side and not be sick anymore.
I bet. She was sick a long time,
It's wonderful. She said it's so liberating. It's not funny.
Wow.
So it's good.
Thank you.
I'm glad you called in and
let
us know how it goes with your sister. But don't be afraid to speak up again.
Okay.
You know, people say, "Well, I'd rather preserve the relationship." I go, "There's no relationship there if somebody's stealing from you." And love yourself the way you would love your own children. Would you tell your child to turn the other cheek, or would you tell your child to fight for what's theirs? You know, and
right.
And sometimes when we allow a sibling to steal from us, we may not need that money ourselves, but that is money that would probably go down to our children. And so you're allowing someone to steal from your children. And with that,
I do stand up for myself. I do stand up for myself, so I will. I'm not going to be silent about it, that's for sure, but I will be calm.
Be calm and assertive and let her know you're watching.
Yeah. Right. Okay.
Good luck to you, and thank you for sharing your story with us, and thank you for letting me get to know your mom. She's lovely, by the way.
Yeah, she's a lot of fun. She's a lot of fun.
Oh, yeah. She really is having fun. She's really very joyful. That's why she was actually a pleasure to hear today. She's actually just joyful and happy. I mean, she won't stay that way if that will doesn't go the way it's supposed to go, though. So just keep that in mind.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Good luck to you. Wait, I have to tell you something before you hang up. Oh, my God, you're going to laugh at this. I decided, since I only have phone readings after this, to put on a pair of pajamas, and I had this pair that I have not opened for 3 years, and the pattern on it, which I just noticed, is all cats.
Oh, God, that's
terrible. Is that not a riot? And I'm not a cat person, but this has 100 different cats of all makes styles on my pattern. So your mother made me.
Well, that's not a sign either, is it?
and the one that caught my eye was the cat. It looks like the cat saying something, and in the little bubble of conversation, it has a heart. So isn't that cute? And so it's not very subtle. I mean, and really,
I'm
laughing because, you know, I don't know what compels me to open this pair of pajamas when I had 4 other pairs I could have put on, like. And I usually try to save a pair of pajamas in case, for whatever. And I just said, I'm just going to open this new pair. And I didn't even know what pattern it was, and there it was. So your mom is definitely
fine.
So we got the cat fine. The cat's happy. The cat's happy.
Yay. Love it. Love it. That is great.
Oh, bye for now. Bye.
All right, bye.
Bye. Now that I just told everybody I'm doing the show in my pajamas, you know, but I couldn't resist saying that because I think it was just too funny. And then we have Debbie, who's a cat person herself, going to be on the air.
Emma. Sorry, my little foster dog Emma is barking in the background. Sorry about that.
Well, maybe it's because of all the cats we brought around here in today.
No, she lives with the cats. I think my wife just got home and now she wants to investigate. Keep in mind, this is a 13-pound Pekingese that's not protecting anything. So,
wow.
She's a 13-pound, 12-year-old Pekingese that's not protecting anything. But she feels like she's...
Well, of course. She has no concept of her size, you know?
Not at all. She thinks she's big, and that's all that matters.
That's right, to remember that.
Exactly, exactly. So, all right, Cindy, we are going to go out to Debbie. And Debbie only has a few minutes here. And Debbie wants to know, is she a narcissist? Interesting question from Debbie right now. So here we go. We're going to run out there and see what she has to say. And as usual, people, if you want to speak to myself or Cindy, please press the number one and I will get you in the queue. Hello, Debbie. You are on the air.
Hello, my ladies. Yes.
Now, Miss Debbie, yes. Tony, I love that question. And I will tell you this. I'll give you the traits that make, to me, someone who's a narcissist and an unfixable human being, is they have to be manipulative. Now, I have known you for probably 15 years, and I have never seen you manipulate.
Okay.
Okay. I have seen you be very charismatic and try to get people to do what they're supposed to do. But I have not ever, and you're not overly judgmental. Okay, I've never seen you be overly judgmental, and you're accountable for things. If you make a mistake, if something happens, you're the first one to say, look what I did. Okay, so you do not fit those traits at all of a person who is a narcissist. And so I'm laughing because, you know, you would think – you know, I think about this for every person that I meet. And I remember years ago thinking about you and thinking, no, she's absolutely not a narcissist. She's not an unfixable human being at all. She's very, good and, and under stress also, you are not a drama queen at all. Narcissists are always drama queens. I saw you under Beethoven when we were under a lot of stress. And a moment that I was very under stress, you looked very deeply in my eyes and smiled at me and said, "Well, don't worry, it'll be okay." And you calmed me down with just, and you got really calm, like, at that moment. Oh. And that's what I needed. And so you're not the kind of person that feeds the drama, that wants it to be dramatic, that wants to be, always in control. You're also follow direction, because remember, I've directed you in place. You follow direction. You follow direction, and you listen, and you go, "Oh, okay, I get it." Now, what made you ask me that question today?
Well, I've been listening to your podcast, and you've been doing a lot on narcissism, and you talked about being a good narcissist, but also yesterday when we had my reading. You had said to me that my dad said I spend money like a drunken sailor, and I don't do that anymore. So I guess it bothered me, and I said, between me and my mother, maybe we both are self-centered because I don't get along with my mother, and I know she's all about her. But I love my dad so much, and I respect his opinion, and I'm not sure why he would say that. And it bothered me, and I said, well, maybe
it bothered him because
you were
your mom, and you want to have the house maybe in New York, and you want to have this in Florida, and you want to do this. He was saying, do not do that. He wasn't talking – that isn't narcissism. That's just – he thought that you and your mom are thinking there's much more money than there is.
That was
And that he just didn't want you to – because it looks like a lot of money. The problem when people get a lot of money at once, it looks like a lot of money. But over the long haul, it's not if you blow it. You could look, the dead go freak out from the other side. Like Meryl's mom might freak out later on if she sees that people are going through her the inheritance in 2 seconds. You know what I mean? You know what it is to people that have scrimped and saved and been good with money their whole life? And they
yeah.
watch their children blow through $500,000 in 6 months on crap and stuff. So that's pretty much what he was just saying. Don't bite off more than you can chew. Don't get into a situation where you're living above your means, because your father never lived above his means.
No,
I don't know.
He did not. He wanted for nothing.
Right. He never lived above his means at all. And, you know, with your mom and you, it's not unusual for mothers and daughters to duke heads. It kind of goes with the territory. Just to, you know, reassure you what I hear from the other side, a lot of mothers come from the other side say they never want to meet their daughters again as mother-daughter. They would want to meet them as a friend maybe in kindergarten, because they actually like their daughters if they had met them in kindergarten, not because there's a built-in resentment between mothers and daughters because, you know, as a mom, say, you know, you're not a mom, but I am one, okay? And
I know.
Mother, we have to tell children what to do when they're little, not because we're Nazis, not because, you know, we want our way, but because it's our job to make sure they live to tell. And during the teen years, there's a lot of, you know, there's a lot of women rivalry between moms and daughters. I don't know what is that's all about, but the teen years, they don't want to listen, and there's a lot of built-in resentments. And the hardest readings to do are girls whose mom died when they're like 18 or 19. And when they come for reading when they're in their 30s, and they have children of their own, they're so upset because they knew they gave their mother such a hard time during those years, the last years of her life. Not on purpose, but they did. And I always tell them, well, your mom has long forgiven that and forgotten it. But that's the kind of thing that, you know, with you and your mom, there's too much close proximity because you live in your own apartment, but, you know, in the same household. And maybe if you had moved further away from her, this wouldn't be such a problem. But now that she's getting older, you really can't now. You know, she's going to need
exactly.
you.
Exactly. Yes.
But your dad just said, you know, try to keep a space between the two of you. And, you know, also your mom has been disempowering of you a lot.
Thank you.
And not supportive. Yep. Remember, I know you very well, and I love your mom. She's always been very good to me, but I'm not her daughter, okay?
I know.
But she sometimes has a way of saying things. I'll tell you what my mom said to me once, and this kind of, I could even hear your mom saying something like this. Someone complimented me when I was a teenager how smart I was and how well I did in school. And my mother said, she's not smart. She just studies a lot.
That's right.
Okay? Now, that would be something your mom would say, okay? Like, that's an insult. That's like, don't smart people study anyway, but...
But she would think that's not an insult to my mother. I'm used to hearing that. That's exactly what my mother would say about me.
Right. And those things... And that's just one example. Now, that I remember, I'm sure my mother said those things every day of my life. I just, you know, and disempowered. And so your mom tends to do that. And she gets jealous of you at times, you know, she's jealous.
Cindy, she did it right before we had Karma Bumps. And she did it again right before the next play. Like, her timing is upsetting to me because my dad was my supporter. My mom, like, tries to sabotage me before I go on stage.
Yeah, well, that's horrible. Something that's what a narcissist does,
okay?
A narcissist, when you have to go to, you know, will undermine you before you have to go to a job interview or something important. And, you know, you have a high-performance job and they're doing something to throw you off your game. And, you know, if you're not a narcissist, you don't do that to people. You know they have to go out to a job or do something. But she's always been a little bit jealous of you. You know, she's always been jealous of your father's affection. That's what your dad just said to me, his affection for you. And, you know, the best thing you could do is just know, you know, good people tend to be well-meaning narcissists. Like, we think we could fix people. If that isn't the epitome of well-meaning narcissism, and I'm guilty of that more than anyone, you know, believing that I have the power to fix somebody who's just not fixable. Okay, that's impossible. you know, well-meaning narcissists tend to think it's all their fault, you know, and I've learned, though, the world sucked before I walked on, it's going to suck after I leave. It's not all my fault here, you know.
Okay, I'll take it.
So just no. The one thing I would never say about you, and also those people who don't know Debbie Tony, she calls in a lot. She's very – Debbie does not have a mean bone in her body. She's exceedingly kind person. She's an exceedingly kind person. That's what I have seen with her, and she has a very good heart. But isn't it funny? Everybody has some narcissism, okay? Everybody has some. We're not going to – nobody doesn't have none of it. Of course, it's in degrees of narcissism as well. You know what I mean? I don't think there's anyone who doesn't sometimes act in a selfish way or whatever. I mean, it's but what we do as a rule, you know, and who we are as, you know, as a rule. And, you know, and it was just funny because with your dad, I just think he was a pretty conservative man financially. Okay?
Yes.
Or he would not have... You know, he made good salaries, there's no doubt about it, but he would have not had the amounts of money saved and everything had if he wasn't good with money. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And if he were alive, he wouldn't be keeping this house in Lindenhurst and getting one in Florida.
Got it.
Okay, that's what he meant. You know, he just wants you to be happy and to know that he's always around you and, you know, he loves you very, very much. And I know you have to do a class tonight, don't you?
I do. Yes, only one person's in the room. Carrie's in the room. But, Cindy, I did want to say, for people that are feeling isolated and bored with COVID, if you do anything musical at all, I don't feel one minute, anything creative, anything artistic, you have time to do something you never did before. You should try that if you're feeling blue. It keeps the depression away because I know I have depressive tendencies. Without music, I would be a different person. So I encourage anybody to do music.
Right, and
that's,
that,
all
that's
I just
very
want to
good.
Add
listen, listen to it. Look at YouTube. Learn to play. You know, do karaoke. Do, you know, at home. Do anything. Dance.
Yep.
Get a dance video. Look, you just do things right, whatever it is. Color, get a coloring book, you know, start drawing, scribbling, whatever
Absolutely.
It is. But it, it's
Take
really,
a bath.
And you might
Sing
be
to the
surprised
radio.
At the end of this, you're going to have like a, you know, a skill or a hobby that you never had before. You know, it's hard the world without distractions. Most of us spend our whole life distracting, running here, running there, running here, running there. And God stopped all those distractions. He wanted people to go a little bit more inward. And a little more, find out your gifts. We all have gifts that maybe we can discover.
Yes.
Study a language. Learn a new language. I mean, there's so many things. Read the books that are on your shelves that you haven't read. There are so many things you could do.
There
I mean,
you
the
go.
One thing I've never experienced in my life is boredom. I don't know what that is. Okay? I'm never bored. And I'm always busy and I'm always learning. The key to life is learning, but a lot of people hit a reset button. To get a certain age, they don't want to learn anything anymore. And people who are doing that, it's going to be hard to get through COVID. If you decided you don't want to learn anything, you just want to coast through life, it's going to be hard. Learn something new. And, you know, Debbie Tony has a musical studio, and she do the teaching via Zoom and things, don't you now?
Yep, right. Yes, all three of my students are here. I'm waving to them. Christine, mute for a second, and then we're going to do a Zoom class for piano right now. These are old students from when I taught in the classroom that came virtually, and it took us a little while, but we learned, and we're going to have a good time tonight. So thank you, Cindy, so much for having me and helping me through this very hard time. It's hard for everybody, and you get me through it.
Well, good for you. And if anybody wants to take a virtual class, you know, it's DebbieTony.com. Is that what it is?
Yes,
you're,
it is. That's it. D-E-B-I-T-O-N-I.
Okay,
you
and it's Debbie,
it.
D-E-B-I. D-E-B-I. Debbie Tony. Okay, well, thank you, Debbie, and have a great class tonight.
Thank you, Cindy. I'll see you guys soon. Bye, Nicole.
Bye.
Bye, sweetheart.
Bye.
I love you guys. Bye.
Bye.
Love you too, Debbie.
You know, wasn't an interesting question asking if she's a narcissist. We all have to ask that. We all have some narcissism.
I laughed at her. I absolutely laughed at her when she said that.
But, I mean, it's something that, you know, again, you know, narcissism has a lot of greed to it. She's not a greedy person. She's not a selfish person.
No,
has a lot of loving conditionally. You love people very conditionally. I mean, I try to see the difference between a narcissist and someone who's not. A narcissist tries to influence us with lies and half-truths, whereas someone who's a good person tries to influence people with truth, okay? And, you know, that's the difference. We try to influence people with truth and facts. We don't try to manipulate them with, you know, lies and half-truths. So yep. That's a big difference. So, you know, I've never seen her do anything of that, like that at all. And so I got a kick out of her question. You know, I really did get
Debbie Taney is a good egg. She's definitely a good egg.
And it's funny because I've known her so long, and I've always loved her and enjoyed her, but COVID has actually, you know, helped bring us closer. When she was sick with COVID, I was really out of my mind. I didn't want anything to happen to her. And, you know, I've had a lot of clients sick with COVID, and, you know, every time they're sick, I just can't wait to hear they're better, you know. It gets you nervous and frantic. And, of course, Debbie was the first round of it, and that's when it was even more scary than now. You know, we didn't know what the consequences. And, you know, and I still see some people with some very long-term effects of COVID. So that's why we don't know how it's going to affect us. Again, you know, I have not stopped my life. I've not stopped my world, but I have certainly followed every protocol that you need to follow to, you know, maintain being safe. Now, Nicole, have you learned anything new during COVID?
Yes, I've learned several new things.
Could you share them with us?
Sure. Well, I took a couple of art classes online, so I learned a couple of cool techniques when I paint and things like that. So that was kind of awesome. I got my certification, my first level certification for being a life coach. So I did that. And I also took a couple of courses on what is called DISC. And, you know, that's basically, you know, behavioral, you know, analysis. You know, it's kind of a lot of people use it in sales. And, you know, it's used very, very often in the workplace where you can kind of break down different personality types. And you can see what's compatible with what and how to more effectively communicate with somebody who is not your personality type and how you could actually improve on yourself by kind of honing in on what your personality type is. So, yeah, I did that.
Well, see, and you have worked throughout. So it's not like you didn't work throughout this. You've been working.
Oh, yeah. No. I my job, aside from losing my pay, I did not lose any work. I gained work. I just lost pay. So, but yeah, no, I had a full-time job for, you know, for the most part. But I also didn't have now 2 hours in a car where I was where I was driving. You know, I didn't have that. So there's 2 hours out of my day that I was missing that I got back by only having to walk into an office from my house and sometimes even working in my pajamas for a while, before I got my day on, I got to alter my working hours a little bit, you know, because when the pandemic hit, a couple of the people that were left in my office, you know, some of them moved clear across the country. So me and the CEO have like a 5-hour time difference. Me and my, you know, my marketing department have a 3-hour time difference.
Wow.
Now, so because of the time differences, we've all been working different hours. So there are some days where I'll start at 7. You know, there are other days where I'll start at 10 or 11. So I just kind of tapered my schedule with what I wanted to accomplish for the day. And I, you know, I got my job done. I got it well. They clearly kept me on after the company sold, and they're trying to keep me now because I expressed my disgust for the current situation, and they're trying to fix it by January. So to kind of put my foot down there from last week. And yeah, so we're looking at a January 1 change, hopefully. And yeah, so I made it work. You know, and even my wife, she made it work. She was out of work for the pandemic.
but we were able to get her, you know, a little bit of part-time work so she wasn't completely dependent on unemployment. And, you know, she learned how to program music, you know, in Logic, and she learned, you know, a couple of, you know, she took a couple of drum courses. Just because she's a drummer doesn't mean that you can't get better. So she took a couple of, you know, drum courses, and, you know, we both basically, and here's the important thing, is that I didn't go and spend thousands of dollars during a pandemic. I went on to Udemy and I went on to Skillshare, and there's literally classes that you can get for like 10 bucks a pop. And, you know, yeah, you know, you're not going to go out and, you know, you're not going to do a lot of your stuff there. Like the life course coaching, that was on a separate, that was a completely separate entity. But the art classes that I took, my wife's music classes that she took, you know, we went on to these things where they're nominal fees. They're not going to bankrupt you, especially when you're trying to save, you know, but at least it's something that's filling up your time. You know, you can take the courses at your leisure. You know, you could even interact with certain people or whatever that are taking the course with you and ask questions and things like that. So, and there, it's a nominal price. You know, I paid on Skillshare, I paid $60 for unlimited access for the year. I spent $175 to get unlimited access. Oh, that's the other thing I was learning. I'm learning to speak German. You know, I got unlimited access on Rosetta Stone, you know, I mean, for $175. And guess what? That keeps me busy. You know, it doesn't keep me bored. I'm doing new things. You know, I'm going onto forums with people that speak German that want to speak English, you know, so I'm helping them with their English and they're helping me with my German, you know, so, it, you know, I'm just finding ways to do things, finding ways to connect with things.
Well, I'm very proud of you. They're going to knock us off in about 2 seconds, but I'm glad that you let us know that you've learned new things, and maybe some people can call in next week and let us know what they've learned during this whole pandemic. So we have about 7 seconds. Goodbye, everybody. We'll speak next week, and have a great week, everybody. Bye.
You too, Sydney.
Bye.